All right, I got to do a backyard edition because the weather out here is just glorious. There's my swing. Yeah, my son is trying to drill those things into the tree and they're still sticking out. That's all right. But there's my little chair. We dropped these trees. And eventually this thing here, that tree, I like to try to install like a table on there so I can sit on my chair and like look out at the cow pasture and just chill out here. But just thinking about a passage of scripture that I sent to a person that needed to hear it. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, where Paul says, as I recall, something along the lines of, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father and pray that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." And that's such a great passage. I don't have my Bible with me right now, but I was just ran some errands, and my precious wife is building a little, like a miniature retainer wall out of stones. She's great at that kind of cool stuff. So I was went to Lowe's and got her some like concrete stuff with a caulk gun or whatever. So she's over there doing that. I just, I'm walking back here and the breeze is blowing and it's just a beautiful evening. And here's the dog, of course, wants me to throw her frisbee. Let me throw this real quick. But I was just reflecting on that and thinking about, it's an amazing thing to think. The apostles wrote a letter, you know, the apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus and said that he was praying that somehow they might be able to comprehend, that they would comprehend the length and width and depth and height of the love of God for them. And did lunch with the young fella today at church, and we were talking about, you know, we often feel guilty because we know we're not what we should be. We know that we don't read the Bible with enough fervor and we're not as attentive in worship. In fact, I was listening to the program I did about distracted thoughts in worship and how to guard against that and just the evil of that. But we need to remember too that God is gracious to us and that he loves us. And there's an illustration I heard a long time ago that was very meaningful. It was a Presbyterian minister used this illustration, and I've always wanted to make sure I give credit to someone else when they have a good illustration that I didn't think of. And he said that, you know, he had a bunch of kids, you know, kind of like I do, and my study at church is covered with stuff that they've made for me. And through the years, as they've grown older, occasionally they'll come into my study and they see all their artwork they gave me when they were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And some of it is pretty sloppy and pretty messy. But they would hand it to me and say, "We want you to put this in your study." I would say, "Okay." So I would, you know, use the masking tape and just tape it on the walls. And there's stuff just all over the walls in my study. And I was thinking about how you feel as a father when your kids bring you something that they made for you. And my kids have made me Christmas cards and birthday cards and all kinds of stuff that they've, you know, Bible verses and, you know, written down on stuff with pictures drawn. And, you know, you have a child that brings you something, they're 3 or 4 years old, and every word on it is misspelled and there's glitter falling off of it and the glue isn't even dry yet. And they hand it to you and they look up at you, you know, and they are excited to give it to you, even though it's got all these flaws in it. And the thing is, I'm a sinful person. I'm a sinful man. It would never cross my mind. It would never cross my mind to say, you misspelled the word Mary in Merry Christmas, or you misspelled my name. Birthday's not spelled like that. Never do that. Why? Because those kids love you. They make you stuff. They're excited to give it to you because they love you. And as flawed as our worship is and as flawed as we are, we being evil, I as an evil man, as a sinful man who's been redeemed and born again by the grace of God, I wouldn't do that to my children when they bring something to me that's flawed and messed up. Why do we think God is like that when we come to him with flawed motives and flawed worship? He's not. Now, certainly we always should strive to do better, and we should strive to, hopefully, you know, we're not still misspelling the words Merry Christmas when we're 40, just to push the analogy a little bit there. But God is not a harsh taskmaster like that. God is not going to point out everything we did wrong. Our worship flows up to him and is pleasing to him because it is associated with the perfection of the sacrifice of Christ. That's what makes our worship, as flawed as it is, acceptable and pleasing and honorable to God. And it's a blessing to God that we worship him. So just remember that, just that passage in Ephesians 3, 14 to 17, that block of text there. And as I recall, it ends with, "And to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," that great passage at the end of it there. But Paul prayed that maybe somehow you could comprehend the length and width and depth and height to know the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My kids bring me something they made. I don't see the faults. I just see that bright little face and how excited they are to give it to me. And even if it's not very good artwork and it's not very attractive, I wrap that child up in my arms and kiss him on the forehead and thank them and tell them how much I love them. Why would we think that God's any different? We are the farthest thing from being a perfect father or a perfect mother, but we have a perfect heavenly father. And he delights in our worship, flawed as it is. It says in the book of Zephaniah, he joys over us with singing. He will quiet you with his love, and he rejoices over us with singing. God redeemed us because he loves us, and he loves our worship. As flawed as it is, because it goes up to him, associated with the fragrant aroma of the sacrifice of Christ, is acceptable in his sight. So maybe someday, I think probably not until we're in heaven, we will understand the length and width and depth and height to know the love of God that passes knowledge. So I just was thinking about that passage and how special it is. What a blessing it is to know that you're loved by God. Whatever trials you have going on, whatever heartaches you've got going on, there is nothing that is more valuable. There's nothing more special. There's nothing more comforting to a soul than to know that you are redeemed and that you're loved by God, that he never leaves you or forsakes you, and that he's eager to accept our birthday card worship that's got glitter falling off of it and glue and every word's misspelled, because we're his adopted children and he adores us. He delights in us. He joys over us with singing. So don't forget that. If you're a Christian, you are loved by God. And this side of eternity, you probably never will really understand the length and width and depth and height of that love. Thanks for watching.